Begin the current and last daf Maseches Gittin daf Tzadi. Begin on the top line of the Amud, where the Gemara begins the last Mishnah in this Masechta. This Mishnah talks about the premise allowing for gerushin, for divorce. So the Mishnah begins a three-way machlokes. Beshami emin beshami say, lo yigarish od mes ishte. A person should not divorce his wife. Elim kein motza bo devar erva, unless he finds something immorally related to activities that she's doing. Shnem, like it says, a pasuk in Devarim. The pasuk that talks about, and this is in Devarim, Perek Chof, Dalet, pasuk Aleph, where it talks about when a person's going to get married and he has a relationship with her. And then it says, ki motza bo ervas davar, that if he finds in her something relating to adultery, then the pasuk says, zuchasav lasif ekrisis, then he writes for her a get, benasim yadi, puts it in her hand, b'shulcha mibes, and he sends her away from his house. So Bishami says, you see that a person should not divorce unless there's grounds based on adultery. That's the premise. Basil Aymrim, Basil says, Afil hikdicha tavshila. Even if she just burns his dinner, whether through fire or through salt, but it's something, it ruins the dish, that's also grounds for divorce. Shnem, like it says, a pasuk, over there it says, ki matza ba ervas davar. Where Basil interprets that pasuk, it doesn't say, ki matza ba erva, it says, ervas davar. So as the Gemara will explain, he learns that either through erva, like Bishamai said, or through davar, meaning any other thing that's a spoiler, will be grounds for divorce. Rabbi Kiva, I mean, he says that even if there's no matzah but erva or even davar, even afila matzah acheres nohaymen, even if he finds just a woman that is more beautiful to him, is also grounds for divorce. Shnem, like it says over there in the pasuk, v'haya im leisim zochem be'enov. The pasuk there says right before those words that if she doesn't find favor in his eyes, then ki matzah be'ervas davar, or as the Gemara explained, or he finds something that immoral with her, then he divorces her. Whereas the Mefarshim explain that Rabbi Kiva's opinion is actually for the benefit of the woman, because if he doesn't appreciate his wife, even something that's low down just because he found someone more beautiful, or if she burns the cooked dish, already she deserves something better than that, something where he's going to be focused on her. So therefore, again, these are grounds for the high level that the Torah expects of the marriage, for that unity, where Beishameh says only if she's doing something morally reprehensible like adultery, Beisil says even something less than that, and Rabbi Kiva says even something as small of just finding someone else more beautiful already is going to be tampering and tainting the marriage, and that's also grounds for not maintaining that relationship and rather going ahead with a divorce. So the Gemara explains this machlok is Tanya Lutna Braisa. Amr Beisil Beishameh, Beisil said to Beishameh, but valoi kvar nemar davar. Beisil asked Beishameh, according to you, what does the word davar come to say? Davar means thing. But according to you, it should have just said that if matzah ba'erva, if he finds something regarding arayas with her, what's the word davar? So amlem Beishameh, Beishameh responds and retorts back to Beisil, but valoi kvar nemar ervas. It already says that it's regarding erva, and you're saying it's not just regarding arayas, you're saying it has to do with any other spoiler thing, like if she ruins his lunch. So Amr Beisil, responds to Beishameh and said, wait, it has to say ervas and davar, because im nemar ervas v'loy nama davar, if it only said ervas and not davar, so then I would have thought to say, like your interpretation is, mishum ervatetze, that the only way a man can divorce his wife, if she, let's say she commit adultery, mishum davar leitetze, but if let's say she just does something else that's ruining the marriage, that we wouldn't allow him to divorce her. That's why it says thing, which is anything that's ruining the marriage. Now, and had it only said thing and not erva, so of course I would know that if you could divorce her for even burning the dish, for sure you could divorce her if she's doing something like adultery. But I would have said then, if it only said davar and not ervas, that mishum davar only in a situation when the husband is divorcing his wife because of davar, meaning because of like ruining the dish, and not because of arayas, then only in that situation would I think, tinasi la'achar. It's only regarding such a woman that the Torah tells us that she's then permitted to go ahead and marry to someone else. Because the pasuk says, so okay, he divorces her, and then the pasuk continues and says, v'hais l'sh'achar. Then she goes and she can marry someone else. But in Mishum Ervabah, I would have thought to say, if the reason why he's divorcing her is because of something that's immoral regarding relationships, for example, if he's divorcing him because of a rise of adultery, then actually she would be forbidden to everybody from here on, that loyti nosulacha, that she can't marry anyone else now. That's why it's had to say even ervas, because yes, of course that's grounds for divorce, because even davar is grounds for divorce. but it's coming to say that the continuity of the pasuk that says that she can marry someone else is not only for davar, because but even rather for ervas, even if because she committed adultery, so she's forbidden to the baal and she's forbidden to the bayal, but she can marry another man. That's why I had to say ervas. So Basil's interpretation is intact. But the Gemara asked, Beishamai, but according to Beishamai, Hai davar mai avdile, what do they do with the word davar? Now, the way Rashi understands already, even in the Gemara's question, is because according to Beishamai, they understand the pasuk only talking about arise. They don't agree that grounds for divorce is even for what Beis Hillel is calling, quote, davar, which is even any spoiler type of thing. So the question then becomes is that according to Beishamai, as we'll see, that it should have said erva bidavar, because as we'll see, that the word davar refers to witnesses. So it should have said that if a person will find in his wife erva bidavar, he'll find in her that she had committed adultery through witnesses, then is when he should divorce her. But why does it say ervas davar? Which sounds like that it's not qualifying the ervas. It sounds like it's two different things, like Basil says. So that the Gemara answers that no, that actually it's referring to a qualification, the word davar of ervas, which is nemakan davar. Here it's saying that regarding this ervas, it says it has to be davar. V'nem alahal davar, there's another pasuk in Devarim that also has the terminology of davar, where it says, it says that either based on the testimony of two or three witnesses, that will create validity for testimony in court. So, says Beishamai, just like over there, it used the word davar, that it has to be clear verification through two witnesses, afkam b'shnei edim, here also, you need to have two clear testimony from two witnesses. In other words, that a woman would not be forbidden to her husband because of erva, because of adultery, only if we have two witnesses testifying that she committed adultery, then she's forbidden to her husband. That's why Beishamai says you need to have davar, not to tell you something else, but rather as a qualification for what type of a woman is forbidden to her husband because of arayas, that he would have to divorce her. Now, however, the Gemara tells us, but according to Beis Hillel, whereas Rashi explains what the Gemara is addressing is that obviously they also need to use davar as a qualification of ervas, which comes to tell us the halacha of edus, as the Gemara will shortly explain, that the word davar is, even according to Beis Hillel, qualifying, that when does he have to divorce her, when there's davar, when there's witnesses that are telling us regarding ervas. So how do they use the word davar to tell you this other thing, which is even for, let's say, her ruining his dishes? So the Beis Hillel explained, Miksiv erva bidavar? Does it say in the pasuk that if he finds in her an erva bidavar, which would have sounded like that if he finds in her an erva, how? Bidavar, which again the word davar from the Gezeirah Shava teaches us through clear testimony, it doesn't say that. If it would have said erva bidavar, then Beis Hillel says we would agree with you. It's only telling you that when you have the halacha of adultery being verified through witnesses. But it doesn't. It says ervas davar. Now, Beishamai say, fine, you're right. But still, your interpretation also doesn't make sense, because miksiv oy erva oy davar, but does it say either through arayas or anything that those are grounds for divorce? It doesn't. It says ervas davar, which sounds like it's one contiguous statement, which is that according to Beishamai is qualifying. So yeah, I hear your question. According to me, it should have said erva bedavar, but according to you, it should have said oy erva oy davar. However, Beis Hillel, they say no. You're right. We definitely need, as we've been explaining, even according to Beis Hillel, that the word davar is coming to connote this idea of edim, which is a qualification of ervas, which comes to tell us a halacha when we force him to divorce his wife. In other words, we don't force a man to divorce his wife unless we have two clear witnesses who testify that his wife committed adultery. However, says Beis Hillel, lahachik siv ervas davar, that's why it says ervas davar and not erva bidavar, and neither does it say the way you're asking me oy ervas oy davar, because actually so that it could allude to both of the drashas, because the words ervas davar is the mashmahachi. It you could read it either way. You could read it either as ervas is its own word and davar as its own word, where that's Beis Hillel was saying yes, even you could the grounds of divorce are whether through adultery or for any other spoiler. But it also could be read, like you yourself are reading it, that it's erva bidavar. So that explains, Beis Hillel says, why it said it in that terse, that ambiguous terminology of ervas davar, because it wanted to actually teach you both halachas, both that it could be either or as a qualification of the word ervas, which is the halacha that you're saying. So that's the opinion of Beis Hillel that you see from this pasuk, both halachas, including his halacha where he disputes Beis Shammai, that even hikdicha tafshila is grounds for divorce. Now, the third opinion mentioned in the Mishnah was Rabbi Kiva. I mean, he said, afila matza acheres. Even if he finds just a more beautiful woman, that's also grounds for him to divorce his wife. Now, the Gemara asks, b'mai kemifli, so what are they arguing about? What is Rabbi Kiva, on one hand, arguing with Beis Shammai b'sel? So the Gemara explained, b'derish lakish, they're disputing regarding the halacha that Rish Lakish had said. The Amar Rish Lakish said, ki, the word ki in the Torah, mishamish bedad l'shoynes. In other words, regarding when the Torah uses the word ki, there are four different interpretations of that word ki, as Rashi brings a long list throughout the Torah, where we find the word ki, where it could be one of these following four translations, although it's the same word. It could either mean e, which means if, it can mean dilma, maybe, perhaps, or ella, but, or it can mean daha, which means because. Now, on that, the Gemara explains, this was the machlekes, Beis Shammai on the one hand, and Rabbi Kiva on the other hand. Beis Shammai savri, Beis Shammai hold, when it says in the Torah, v'haya, that it will be imloisim tzachem be'enav, if she will not find favor in her husband's eyes, ki, and we'll translate what that means, ki matzah ba'ervas davar, so on that Beis Shammai learned that the interpretation of ki over here was, if that is daha, because matzah ba'ervas davar, because he found something morally reprehensible with her regarding adultery, so in other words, it's because. That's when the not finding favor is grounds for divorce. But what that means to say, but if there was no proof of adultery, then there wouldn't be grounds for divorce. Now, as Rashi explains, Basil agrees to that interpretation of ki according to Beis Shammai, that it means because he found in her, just that he disagrees regarding what does it mean, ervas davar. When is loisim tzachem be'ein of grounds of divorce, is ki matzah be'ervas davar, because he found either erva or davar, where if it wasn't either one of those two, then it wouldn't be grounds for divorce. And the reason being is because when the Torah says loisim tzachem, it's telling you and qualifying is because he found, again, either erva or davar, but not just because just lost favor because he thinks someone else is more beautiful, that wouldn't be grounds. Now, but Rabbi Kiva, however, he interprets the word ki in the terminology of im, which is if. Therefore, it's actually two different statements that the Pasuk's talking about. First, the Torah tells us, im lo yisim tzachen be'enav, if she doesn't find favor in his eyes, which any favor, because of, let's say, beauty, he finds another woman more beautiful. Then the Pasuk says, ki matzah ba'ervas davar. What does that mean? According to Rabbi Kiva, it's inami, or also, meaning as in ve'im, which ki could be interpreted that way, and if, matzah ba'ervas davar, that's another grounds for divorce, if you find something that regarding adultery. So according to Rabbi Kiva, it's either or, but you definitely find that it, even if she just loses favor, it's grounds for divorce, again, because of how you interpret the word ki in that Pasuk. Now the Gemara asks, however, Amalei Rav Papa l'Rava says, Loi matzah ba, loi erva v'loi davar. If let's say, according to Beis Hill, a man divorced his wife, and then the rabbis look into this, and they find there is nothing regarding arayis that this woman had committed, and neither has she done anything wrong regarding spoiling his dish, his cooked dishes. Now, what's the halacha in such a case? Do we force him to take her back or not? Because on some level, according to this interpretation of Basil, that was an inappropriate gerishin, not grounds for divorce. So does he have to remarry her? So Amalei, so Rabba said to Rapapa, Midigali Rachmana Gabi Oynis, when the fact that the Torah revealed to us by the story of the Oynis, if someone rapes a Naira Besula, a woman that's a Naira between the age of 12 and 12 and a half, that's a Besula, that's a virgin. The Torah tells us in Devarim, lo yuchel l'shalchol kol yamav, that for the rest of his days, he cannot send her away. Which the Gemara Masechet Makos Tesvav Menalf explains. What does it mean, kol yamav? Just say you can't send her away. What's all his days? So that's superfluous. So the Gemara tells us, coming to teach us, that when it says he cannot send her away, it means to say that even if he does send her away, let's say he divorces this woman that he was ma'anis, which the penalty is from the Torah that he has to now marry her because of what he did to her, he cannot send her away all his days, meaning that the court forces him to remarry her. Now that's actually one of the reasons why he doesn't get malchus, lashes, as the Masechtas Makos talks about over there, for sending her away, because although the Torah commands you and forbids you to do that, but that's what's called a lav hanitik l'esse. When there's a negative prohibition, let's say, of stealing, you won't get lashes because you can return the gezela. So once it could be rectified through a positive commandment, for the negative prohibition, you don't get lashes for, which you usually do if you violate a regular negative prohibition. There, you're not going to get it because although you violated by sending it away, but the Torah is telling you you have that positive commandment of kol yomav ba'omad v'hechzerkoi. Whole life, you really have now a positive commandment to take her back. That's what's being learned from the words of kol yomav. Now, that's what it says by the halacha of ama'anis, of oynis. Now, the inference is, hasam hu degal rechman. It's only over there where the Torah reveals us this concept that, okay, you're not allowed to send her away, but if you do actually, you have a positive commandment to take her back. Aval hacha, but the inference is, however, over here, regarding any man that divorces his wife, even if it was without proper grounds for divorce, that there you don't have this what's called omayd v'hechzer, this requirement of taking her back, because rather the halacha is going to be maida of it. What was done was done. And the reason for that is because had the halacha been, like was being entertained in the question, that whoever divorces their wives inappropriately has the requirement of omayd v'hechzer, of taking her back, then why would I need the pasuk to reveal the halacha of kol yomav by ma'anis, where for sure he's not allowed to divorce her, where there he has to remarry her, if any woman that's divorced on not appropriate grounds has to take it back? The fact that it revealed it to us only by the halacha of, by oynis, of rape, then that tells us that by a regular married woman, there, although you're not supposed to, again, as we said, their interpretation is there has to be certain grounds for it, but if you did, what's done is done, and he doesn't have to remarry her. Now, a related discussion, the Gemara tells us, only Rav Misharsha L'Rava, says, Imliboy Lagarsha, if the husband's intention is to divorce his wife, but he didn't tell her anything about his plans. Now she's still a faithful wife and serving him. What's the status over here? Is he going to get punished for this or not? Because here he's scheming all these things. He really plans on divorcing her. She doesn't know, and she's serving him. So on that, said Rava, Kari Alei. He recited on this type of a man the pasuk in Mishle that says, "Al tachroish al re'acha ra." Don't think regarding your friend evil. V'hu yoshev levetach itach. And he, however, sitting confidently with you, he thinks you're his friend, but you're scheming and plotting about him all this bad. That's exactly what's with a husband that's planning on divorcing his wife. She knows nothing of it. That is obviously going to cause certain punishment because of what he's doing without her knowing, and she's serving him, and he's taking that all in. Tanya Lina Braisa, again, regarding this discussion of our Mishnah about divorcing the wife and regards to because of adultery, how the relationship morally is between the husband and wife. So the Gemara brings a Braisa, Remei used to say, Kishem Sha Deus B'Maichel, just like there's different types of characteristics that people have regarding how they approach their food. In other words, certain people are more what's called an istinist. They're more delicate regarding what they eat and what they drink, because some people are very delicate and it could be something that's just a little bit spoiled and they're really very turned off from it. And then there are some people that are not so. They're somewhere in the middle. And there are some people that they don't care at all. They'll take whatever food you give them. Could have been left out for days. They'll eat anything. So just like there is different types of characteristics by food, kach deis b'nashim, on a certain parallel, it's analogous how people have different characteristics regarding their wives. In other words, there are certain people regarding when their wives are acting in pretzis, which are certain breaches in modesty, that there are certain people with a little breach, they get very excited about that, that it bothers them a lot. Then there are some people that are not so bothered, if the woman's a little bit not 100% modest, and there are some people who don't care at all, let her do whatever she wants to. So the Gemara explains, Yesh lecha adam, you can have a person, that a fly falls into his cup. Now he throws out the whole cup, he's not going to drink it, he's so turned off, just that a fly fell in. Says the Gemara, this was the characteristic of Papus, the son of Yehuda, who was the husband of Miriam, who used to braid the women's hair. That he would lock the door in front, when he would leave to the marketplace, he would lock the door for his wife that she couldn't get out and she couldn't talk to anybody. Now, as Rashi tells us, that's a very inappropriate type of characteristic, because actually that caused a lot of discord in their relationship, and actually it's going to actually cause them backfire. It's going to cause her to feel like she's locked up. She's going to have to be mezana with another man. Now, so that's a one extreme. Now, v'yesh lecha adam, and then you have a certain person, somewhere in the middle. Shezvav neifol teich kaisi. Look, a fly falls into his cup. V'zarkoi v'shesei. He throws out the fly, but then he drinks the rest of the drink. V'zui mi das kol adam. That's the measurement of most people, of every person. Shemedeberes imachecho ukreveho menicha. He lets her talk to her brothers, to her relatives, and he leaves her alone. Doesn't say, "Ooh, you're talking to a man." It's somewhere in the middle. And then you could have a person that the fly falls into his serving platter. He sucks it out, and he eats even the fly that was in there, where it got dissolved into the food. He doesn't care, he takes the whole thing. That's the characteristic of an evil person. He sees his wife going out, her hair is uncovered, and she's spinning her thread in the marketplace, as we continue on Tamid Beis. Ufruma mishnitzadeha, and she, her clothing is split on the sides, which as Rashi says, by her elbows, he says, like the edomite, the Western type of women that he says in Tsarfas in France, where there's there, although they're covered in the front and the back, but on the sides, it's there's a split which shows their skin on the sides. Verechetzes im bnei adam, and he lets his wife even bathe with men. Now the Gemara asks, im bnei adam sokataitach, with men you would entertain that? In other words, that's what's called reklaim madover. That would actually be very highly indicating that she was mezana with these men, and then she would be forbidden to him. So the Gemara says, it doesn't mean that she actually bathed with men. Rather means that she bathes in a place where men also bathe. In other words, after the men have already left and they're getting dressed, she walks right in front of them and goes into the bathhouse. That's highly inappropriate. That on this third category of men that totally couldn't care what their wives are doing, says the Gemara, Zu mitzvah menater lagarsha. It's that type of a woman that's acting totally with what's called preetzus, with a breach of appropriate modesty, that it's a mitzvah to divorce her. Shlomak, it says a pasuk in Devarim. It says ki matzah ba'ervas b'gomer, which was the pasuk we quoted before. If he finds in there something regarding adultery, regarding immorality of an intimate nature, v'shulcha mebeis, and the pasuk continues, and then he sends her away from the house. And such a wife, a person should not remain married to. Now the pasuk then continues and says, so v'holcha v'hoyselish acher. She goes and she gets married to another man after she got divorced from her first husband, who divorced her because she was acting in an inappropriate morally way regarding an intimate nature. Now, on that, the Gemara comments, Hakasav Kuroi Acher. The Pasuk calls this other man that she ends up getting married to, this other man. Loimer, what it means to tell you is, what does it mean that he's other? She'enzeb ben Zuga Lirishon. He's not the same status. He's not a peer with the first husband. Why? Zehaitzi Risha Mi Beisai. The first husband got rid of this wicked woman from his house. V'zen, this other guy, he's not the same. Hichnis Risha Lotech Beisai. He goes. Here the guy divorced her because of what of her inappropriateness, and he's going ahead and he's marrying this wicked woman. So we see he's definitely not on the same spiritual plane as this first guy. Now actually, as the Gemara tells us, Zacha Sheni, if the second guy ends up meriting, he ends up turning around, Shilcha, he'll be smart, he'll send her away. Shnema, like the Pasuk actually continues and says, Usneo Isha Achrin, and that the later man also ends up hating her, because here's a woman that's highly inappropriate. Now, that's if he merits it. Vimla, but the Gemara tells us if he doesn't merit, if he's not smart and sends her away too, Kervarte, she will bury him. Like it says in the Pasuk over there, it says, Oy kiyomus ishrachan, or if the last man will die, which the Gemara tells us, Kedaihu b'misa, he's worthy to have died. Again, Shezahiti Rishon Mebesa, because the first guy was smart and he got rid of this wicked woman. Vizah hechnes Rishon Techbesa, and this guy, he's taking a wicked woman to his house. Again, if he gets smart, he sends her away. If not, she's going to bury him. Now the Gemara concludes with a discussion relating to the machlekes in our Mishnah. Quoting a pasuk in Malachi, the pasuk says, "Kisane, when there's hatred, shalach is sending away." So there's a machlekes regarding how to interpret what this cryptic pasuk is talking about. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, he says, "Imsanesa, if he hates her, shalach, then send her away." Which as Rashi says, that's similarly like the interpretation of Rabbi Kiva, which said in our Mishnah, for whatever reason, if he doesn't like her anymore, then send her away, even if he finds another one more pretty. That's obviously not an appropriate marriage, and that you're not having a full-fledged, 100% mindful relationship. Send her away. Which, that's how he interprets the Pasuk. Im sani, if he hates her, send her away. Now, Rabbi Yechanan Aimer, he interprets the Pasuk otherwise. He says, actually, sani hamishaleach, the one who sends her away is hated. So he's translating the Pasuk, ki sani shalach, because the one who sends away is hated. In other words, he's hated in front of Hashem, which, as Rashi says, because even according to Beis Hill, although we don't force the one who divorced his wife under not the appropriate context, we don't force him to remarry her, but he's still hated because it's still not an appropriate thing. Now, the Gemara actually tells us about Loi Pligi. The interpretation of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yochanan are not in disagreement. How so? Because the Gemara explains, Ha, Rabbi Yochanan was talking about Bezug Rishon, was by the first marriage. In other words, as the Pasuk actually talks about what's called Eishes Ne'urim, the wife of one's youth, because that's what the Pasuk's talking about over there, because it says afterwards, it says Eishes Ne'urecha. And it also says, V'nishmartim Beruchachem, you should be careful with your spirit. Ube Eishes Ne'urecha Al Yivgun, you shouldn't rebel and be treacherous to the wife of your youth. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan was talking about. So that's where it's Sanu HaMeshaleach. But Ha Bezug Sheni. But Rabbi Yehuda, who said that, no, if he hates her, send her away, not that the one who sends away is hated, was told him by the second marriage. Damar Rabbi Elazar, like Rabbi Elazar said that there's a difference qualitative between the first marriage and the second marriage. He says, Kol Magarish Ishta Rishayin, whoever sends away, divorces his first wife, Afila Mizbeach Marita Lav Demois, even the altar, the Mizbeach, sheds tears for that divorce. Shalem, like it says in the Pasuk before that, it says, V'zois sheinus tasu. And this is what Hashem tells the Jewish people. And this is the second thing that you do. Kasois dimma es mizbeach Hashem. You cover the Hashem's mizbeach with tears. B'chiv anaka, with crying and with sorrow. Me'ein oid p'nois el mincha, where it's not turning anymore to your flower offerings that you're bringing. V'lakachas ritzoy mi'etchem, and to take willingly from what the offerings that you're bringing with your hand. Now, v'amartam alma, and if you're going to say, for why? Al ki Hashem heyid beincha ubein eishes narecha, because Hashem is testifying between you and the wife of your youth. And here we see the relation between the mizbeach, which is crying, and because of the severance of the relation between the man has and the wife of his youth, which again is his first wife, asher ata begadeta ba, because you have acted treacherously to her. Vehi chavertucha, and she was your friend, ve'eishes b'risecha, and the wife of your covenant, and yet you sent her away. So again, we see this difference where there's no dispute regarding how to understand this, that by the first zug, by the first pair, there the understanding is Soneha Meshaleach, but regarding to the zug sheni, then it's like Rabbi Yehuda said, if you hate her, then send her away. Hanulach HaMagarsh, we shall return to the ninth parak Masechet Skitten, parak HaMagarsh, the Slikla Masechet Skitten, we have Baruch Hashem completed the Masechta of Gittin.